Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, it seems like almost 2 weeks since the Patriots last played football. Right?
Good, Fred.
But seriously, though, did you get a chance to watch any of the games this weekend? And by watching, are you more or less excited about the Patriots' chances this year?
I'm probably in the same spot. You know, I thought the Patriots had sort of, as Paul put it on our post-game show, put themselves head and shoulders above the rest of the league. And I think the more you watch, you see that. The inconsistencies of other teams. You know, the Vikings are a Super Bowl contender right up until they can no longer win. And, you know, some of the young players, a Wentz and the Eagles and Peterson sort of going through growing pains. But then you look at the Cowboys, a young team, and they're rolling along. To me, the Patriots are the most complete team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm with Andy. I was pretty confident heading into the bye week that the Patriots were at the top of the heap, and nothing that I saw certainly during the course of the Week 9 games led me to believe that I was wrong. There's still a lot of, I think the Patriots, maybe they're not great. You know, maybe we throw that term around too much. Well, they're a great team. They do this. But they're certainly the least flawed team of the rest. If you want to say that it's just about who's good and who's not so good, the Patriots' flaws are a lot more correctable from what I've seen than anybody else.
Yeah, probably within 60 minutes, too.
Yes.
And probably the most well-rounded. Not even just eliminating flaws. I think if they play their best in all areas of the game, they have the potential to be a great team on any given Sunday, as they say, for 60 minutes. I think they've shown the ability to play defense. They've shown the ability, turnovers, offensively, that we know they can run it. We know they can throw it. Big plays, short plays. I think they have, I'm not saying they're going to put it together. They may not put it together at all.
Right.
That we may not have a single game moving forward, but they have that ability, whereas I don't think a lot of teams can say that, where they can do a lot of different things, even on their best day.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens on this Sunday coming up. But we had a chance to, on Monday night, watch Seattle against the team the Patriots had just played, the Bills. And I was interested to see how that matchup would happen. And the Bills, I think, put up a really good, you know, game in Seattle against that team. I think they really challenged them. Seattle's flawed. They're not as good, I think, as they've been the last couple of years.
Well, they're missing key players, certainly, with Chancellor out, Bennett out. They're still trying to find out what they can be on offense without a bell cow running back and without an offensive line. Those two things together have really altered, I think, the way they have to play. Russell Wilson has been hurt, maybe in part because of that, and maybe in part because of the load he needs to carry, whatever. But I still think they have the talent. It's an interesting matchup because I think these teams are similar. They have a lot of the same strengths when you look at them and weaknesses, right? I mean, both teams have questionable offensive lines, but they have great tight end play. Jimmy Graham is seemingly back. Gronk. They have Super Bowl winning, good to great quarterback.
You're not saying Graham's veteran, as good as Gronk.
He's not even close and not even in the same ballpark.
You use the word similar.
The way they're built is similar with a key tight end, a key quarterback. And then defensively, you look at it, they both have one high-end corner and are sort of scrambling to find the other corners. Pro Bowl safeties, Pro Bowl linebackers. I mean, I think there's a lot of similarities in the way the teams are built. The Patriots are just healthier and better.
And Seattle is struggling a little bit. I don't think that defensively, to your point, Freddie, they're as good as they've been, and they can't run the ball at all. So that's been a big problem on offense, although I think they showed some signs offensively in that Monday night game. But the best thing to me, if you're Belichick, is you got to go into this bye week, and you're 7-1, and you're pretty healthy, but there was a lot of things that you, quote-unquote, could correct. Because they haven't been perfect, and they have the ability to have not been perfect while still winning football games.
Right.
And sometimes it's hard to correct mistakes when you continue to win. But Bill has legitimate things that he could, you know, third down defense, the red zone problems that we talked about, the lack of a pass rush that we talked about. Offensively, can they consistently run the football and not just once in a while do that? So while there's so many things to be excited about with the Patriots, I think he had a chance at the whole self-scouting thing. There was plenty to correct. And now you have a team in Seattle that, at least by reputation, should have your attention. So it's the perfect opponent, I think, to come out of the bye week, too, because you're not playing the Cleveland Browns, a team you roll out of bed and you're going to beat. This is Seattle, and even though they're coming here, I think the Patriots are probably expecting a difficult game.
Are the two teams similar to the two teams that met up in that Super Bowl, or are we talking about different teams here? I mean, obviously Brady and Russell.
Bill thinks there was a lot of similarities.
I mean, all the coaches talked a lot about that this week. You know, the similarities, personnel changes here and there. But I do think there are, you know, somewhat. To me, the biggest one is Marshawn Lynch. Their ability to not have that running game to really lean on. I think that is something they haven't filled. Whereas offensively, you could say the Patriots are better.
Well, that's
this,
why
this new age offense.
I'm glad you, because that's what I think. I think the Patriots offense is better than we saw 2 years ago.
But the Patriots defense is not as good.
No, but and I think Seattle's offense isn't as good.
Right, but I would say the Patriots are better on offense, worse on defense, and so how does that all balance out within one battle, one game plan? And we've been talking about it. Is this a harder offense to defend because of, you know, I've termed it sort of the spacing on the field with Hogan and Bennett and James White out of the backfield, Gronk and Edelman, you kind of spread the field.
Is this the toughest team the Patriots have left on their schedule?
Well, I think the trip to Denver
is still to me would be
because of the trip or the team?
Both. The spot this week isn't that hard for you. It's the you're coming out of a bye at home. The Seahawks are coming off a short week going across the country. In Denver, it's a tough spot and a great defense. Even though they've had their hiccups of late, you get Aqib Talib back. I still think that Denver defense in Denver is a challenge.
It's going to be a good matchup Sunday night. I can't wait. But, you know, going back to the game that they just played Monday night, you know, there was some really bad officiating in that game. And I'm you know, nowadays, after the game, you can immediately go to Twitter and get the statements. And Blandino was on Twitter.
Right.
and, you know, find out what they think. And I have to admit, even though I love seeing Rex Ryan lose, they got kind of hosed.
He got jobbed. And people are starting to wonder if in Seattle is a thing with all the issues that the officials seem to have there. Is it just sort of the nature of the home crowd having an influence with how loud they are? Now, Paul's just going to say, they all stink. They blow calls every game, every week. They all stink.
I don't know why we're limited it to Seattle. I really don't.
But, you know, I do think the officials helped the Seahawks win that game, and you're not going to get the same crew, and you're going to have the home field advantage on your side. But I think the biggest one is Richard Sherman. It just feels like they're afraid to call anything on Richard Sherman. I don't know if they think he's a loud, outspoken player who could make them look bad in the media, if there's any of that. But between Richard Sherman, and then I also don't like Dean Blandino. Like, who wants their boss on Twitter right after your performance criticizing you on social media? That doesn't seem appropriate to me.
Yeah.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows. A whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Back to From the Heart, and we have a matchup to look forward to this week. And I'm not just talking about a Super Bowl rematch. I'm talking about the two best tight ends in football. Yes, that may be the case once again. Jimmy Graham is back from a torn patella tendon, and he's making plays once again. If you watch Monday Night Football, you saw two one-handed touchdown catches, 38 receptions, nearly 550 yards on the season. And we all know what Gronk is doing. He is the best tight end in football. He is dominating. Crazy 22 yards per catch to lead the National Football League. A few years ago, it was Graham, it was Gronk, best tight end argument in football. We're back to that same point, and guess what? They now have similar spikes, too.
Well, Andy just talked about Jimmy Graham's resurgence, and a couple of years ago, he was the number one option for the New Orleans Saints offense, and the Patriots decided to go about him with one guy, Aqib Talib, and he completely shut him down. Unfortunately, Talib is no longer here, so it's going to be interesting to see how Bill Belichick and company go about covering Jimmy Graham in this one, because he is once again back to being at the forefront of the Seahawks offense. I think you're going to see a lot of different combinations, but I think it starts with Patrick Chung. I think he's the most versatile safety the Patriots have, and I think he's going to get a lot of the opportunities to cover Graham. But I think you could see Eric Rowe involved here as well. He's a guy who's come on in recent weeks, getting a lot more playing time on the outside. Wouldn't be surprised to see him get some reps on the inside as well against Graham. But it's always going to be more than one guy, because right now, the way Graham is playing, just too athletic to allow one guy to get beaten all over the field. So to me, this is going to be a lot of team defense. It's going to be Patrick Chung, Devin McCourty, Eric Rowe, all hands on deck.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
trash talk this week. We figure if Bill Belichick can do some self-scouting, then we can scout his team during the bye. And Paul Perillo, as we look forward to the second half of the season, what scares you the most about these Patriots? What could be their Achilles heel?
Well, first of all, I had a great week. I didn't have any self-scouting necessary. I was perfect as usual.
You know what Fred said.
But here's the problem with the Patriots, and I think Bill Belichick talked about it before they even went on their bye week. It's the defense. He's a little disappointed in it, and then what do you do a couple of days later? He traded arguably the best player in Jamie Collins. So to me, defense is my number one concern, and specifically the pass rush. I think they need to get a little bit more pressure on the passer.
I think it's the offensive line. I think we saw a season end last year because of the offensive line in Denver, their inability against, admittedly, an historic defense. And Von Miller, they were on a mission to win a Super Bowl. But I think we've seen too many games the last 3 weeks where Brady had to overcome pressure. And he has done a remarkable job dealing with it.
Yeah.
I just worry. You know, the last time we saw him on the field, he was sacked 4 times, hit another 8 or 9 times. That's not great for a 39-year-old quarterback to keep getting hit. And I also have my questions about running the ball. Can you consistently run the ball? You know, they have had flashes where they've run the ball well. But I think that offensive line, I think they have their guys. Dante Scarnecchia has said he likes having the same consistent five out there. My question is, are they good enough?
Yeah, and we'll find out over the last half of the season. I agree with you. That's my number two concern with the offensive line. But I do think it is good enough. And I think the reason that is because Brady has, I think, learned to sort of deal with life. I think he's a little bit more experienced with it. And last year, when it really all fell apart, they didn't have all of the receivers at 100%. So health is going to be a huge factor going forward. Right now, they're pretty healthy. The other side of the ball, though, they don't really get around the passer almost ever.
I'll flip your script because I do think, from my point, the pass rush is the number two issue. But what you said is if they face a good passer, if they face a, I'm not sure they will. I'm not sure they exist. You know what I know exists? Good defensive fronts that they have to face. They have to go to Denver. They have to play Denver at least once, right? They have to play potentially the Oakland Raiders, where you have Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin coming from two sides. You have a lot of teams on the horizon that could give you problems, even NFC teams down the road, whether it's Seattle, Minnesota, some of those teams that are going to be Super Bowl contenders. You are going to have to deal with very good defensive fronts and very good pass rushes. I don't know if you can. They need to be better.
But if it does get derailed, if something happens like last year where the offense is sort of stalling and, you know, sitting around 20 points or so, can that be enough to win a game? And right now, I don't think it is, because I don't think defensively they're capable of beating you 20-17 or 17-13, one of those old school kind of playoff games. You brought up Oakland. I'm going to flip it on the other side of the ball. Oakland has the kind of offense, I think, that can put that kind of pressure on you. They can throw the ball. How do you stop them if you can't get any pressure on the passer, if you can't get off the field on third down? So that's my number one concern.
If defenses win championships, you're right. If offensive lines win championships, no one's ever said that.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
If you follow the NFL and haven't heard of Marquette King yet, it's only a matter of time. King is the punter for the Oakland Raiders and is on a mission to make punting cool. Says King, "I want kids watching the game on Sundays to look at me and say, hey, that dude is pretty cool. He's got some swag. I want to be a punter too." He's off to a good start, mainly because the Raiders are atop the AFC West, and he's a very good punter. Plus, he's got something most other punters don't: style. I mean, there's not a lot of punters I've seen that can match this. More important is the reason for the dance. Punters can be a weapon, whether it's flipping the field with a boomer or pinning an opponent deep. The problem is, if he's on the field too much, something is wrong with your offense. If the Raiders keep on their winning ways, King will have to be satisfied, leaving his audience wanting more.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
This week we're joined by Patriots running back James White. James, coming off the bye week, anything in particular you got a chance to do?
Just relax a little bit, get your mind off football for a couple of days, but recover. But at the same time, get ready to get a little head start on the Seahawks.
No trips or anything?
No trips.
All right, how about any opportunity to watch some football? One of your former teammates, Melvin Gordon, had a big weekend. I don't know if you caught any of that.
Of course, I always watch football. Melvin had a great game. He had like like over 200 all-purpose yards. So it's great to see him. He's having a great year. Also got a chance to watch Wisconsin play a little bit too.
So you mentioned the Seahawks and some of the I don't know if you had a chance to watch the Monday night game, but some of the challenges they provide defensively, if you had a chance to watch them very much?
Yeah, I got a chance to watch the Monday night game. I mean, they have a very, very good football team, a great defense, good on special teams, a good offense. So, I mean, it's going to be a great challenge for us. We have to come out, have a great week of practice, and just be ready to bounce back from the bye week.
Specifically with the linebackers, you know, Wagner and Wright, what kind of challenges they provide for a guy like you, you know, a third down back, a guy coming out of the backfield making some plays?
Oh, they're fast, physical guys and know how to tackle. So, I mean, it'd be a great challenge for me. They're good in the open field. They know how to make tackles in space, and they're good blitzers as well. So, I mean, like I said, it'll be on our P's and Q's, and just go out there and try to execute.
Now, for you, catching the ball has been nothing new. You've been very good at that since you've been a Patriot. It seems this year you're getting some more opportunities to run the ball as well. You know, have you feel more comfortable in that role? I know you've always run the ball your whole life, so it might sound a little silly, but, you know, as a Patriot, it seems like you're getting more carries. Do you feel a little bit more comfortable doing that?
I mean, I'm comfortable with whatever they ask me to do, whether it's catching the ball, blocking, running it. I was trying to trust my reads, go out there and practice hard, and when I go out there on game day, just make the proper decisions and go out there and try to help move the chains for the team.
Now, I know that usually, you know, Coach Belichick talks about it's hard to sort of watch a game on TV and get anything out of it, but the fact that this was sort of unique with Buffalo playing Seattle, the team that you just played against the team that you're going to play, that provide a little bit more of an opportunity to get some TV scouting in?
Well, I mean, I always watch football, and if I had the opportunity to watch a team that we're playing against, that's good too. You watch it on TV, but then again, you watch it. you watch it in the film room too, so you get both looks at it.
All right. I'm going to try not to let that distract us too much, but we'll just plow ahead here. Wanted to ask you about your rather unique Twitter handle, Sweet Feet, and where that all came about.
That came from one of my high school teachers, my senior year of high school. He came up with that, so that's where it comes from.
Just because of watching you play?
It's during a senior skit. He just randomly said it. And, I didn't like it at first, but I kind of like it now.
kind of stuck now?
Yeah, it kind of stuck with me.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's that time of the show where we answer your questions, but first, the Wilson Hart Power Index.
And you'll be happy. Top spot stays the same. Your New England Patriots remain in the one spot with a pretty healthy advantage over the number two team, the Dallas Cowboys, as we talked about earlier in the show.
Yep.
People are starting to slot those two teams as Super Bowl bound, and the Wilson Hart Power Index says could happen. Chiefs 3, Vikings 4, Raiders 5,
Chiefs
tied
3.
With Broncos. Kansas City Chiefs at 6-2. Don't sleep on the Chiefs, baby.
Okay.
Okay, but the question that needs to be asked, Fred, the Buffalo Bills have now lost 3 in a row. Do they remain in the top 10, Andy?
They are the best 4-5 team. They are 12 overall.
They only dropped a little bit.
And Billy O'Brien's Houston Texans at 5-3 are the worst winning team, ranking 24th.
Okay. I have no argument with that one.
All right, let's get to the questions that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. The first one comes from Adam Kaczynski. It says, it appears that Bill Belichick is able to do something about minimizing injuries other than calling them bad luck. What is the key to his approach?
I think...
good luck.
It's really hard to say anything other than good luck. Now, I know they've made some changes. Harold Nash is out and Moses Cabrera is in as the head strength and conditioning coach. And I know that they've really looked at this. They've researched it and done a lot of work trying to figure out how best they can prevent some of these injuries. And I have a hard time, Freddie, saying that this has just been a little bit more fortunate than the normal team so far, and hopefully it'll remain that way.
It's a half season.
It's a half season. Let it play out
a little bit.
Yeah, luck does play into it every year for every team. Alan Bernstein writes in, could a traded player be forced to play in 17 regular season games? Would the player receive some type of extra compensation, and does the CBA address this real possibility?
Yes, it could happen, and no, they don't get extra money. Their salaries are divided into 17 game checks. They get a game check during the bye week. If this happened and they were traded, and it actually could have happened to Randy Moss back in 2010 when he was traded to the Vikings, had he remained in Minnesota and not been cut from that team subsequently, He could have played in 17 games. I believe at least five guys have done it since the 90s.
Wow.
One of them...
Somebody did his research.
Chris Singleton, former Patriots linebacker in 1993, played in 17 games.
Okay.
Boom. I just would have deleted that question.
Andrew Walker writes, and I truly believe the Patriots need more help along the offensive line if they're to win the Super Bowl. What are the chances they get Trey Jackson and Sebastian Vollmer back this season?
I think there's a reasonable chance you get Trey Jackson back. He's still on PUP, but I think that you could get him back. Sebastian Vollmer, I think, is pretty much a foregone conclusion. He was bound for IR and not going to be part of the season, but I do think there's a chance that Jackson could help.
Plus, okay. Vollmer's on social media teaching Gronk how to speak German.
Also a good point.
All right. Fred Larson writes in, while the Patriots have eight players, Sherrod, Long, Ninkovich, Flowers, Mingo, McClellan, Grissom, and Van Noy, who are outside guys, they have only two players as proven inside linebackers. Which of these eight outside guys could step in and play inside?
I think this is a great question. I think it's an issue to watch, that depth in there. Hightower has dealt with injury issues in the past. He's already missed two games this year. If he goes down and the Landon Roberts is your only guy, you need more bodies. I think Rob Ninkovich, we need to remember, all spring and summer was playing stand-up inside linebacker. He was actually in a three-way rotation with Hightower and Jamie Collins in a lot of practice sessions. I think he's a guy, and I think Shea McClellan. He was settling into that role last year in Chicago. I thought when the Patriots brought him here, it was going to be as a depth inside linebacker. He's been primarily in that outside group, but I think he could move to the inside when you need him or if you need him.
Those are the two that would be on the top of my list, too.
All right, and those are your questions for this week. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.